Welcome to the audio podcast of The Table,
a new United Methodist community of faith taking shape at Central UMC in Sacramento, California.
The podcasts currently feature the messages of Matt Smith and Linda Duhirsu,
with a musical introduction by Anthony Coleman, our director of music.
Thanks for listening.
Now the apostles and the believers who were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also accepted the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcised believers criticized him, saying, "Why do you go to uncircumcised men and eat with them?" Well, then Peter began to explain it to them, step by step, saying, "I was in the city of Joppa praying. And in a trance, I saw a vision. There was something like a large sheet coming down from heaven, being lowered by its four corners, and it came close to me. And as I looked at it closely, I saw four-footed animals, beasts of prey, reptiles, birds of the air. I also heard a voice saying to me, 'Get up, Peter, kill and eat.' But I replied, 'By no means, Lord, for nothing profane or unclean has ever entered my mouth.' But a second time the voice answered from heaven, 'What God has made clean, you must not call profane.' This happened three times. Then everything was pulled up again to heaven. And at that very moment, three men sent to me from Caesarea arrived at the house where we were. The Spirit told me to go with them and not to make a distinction between them and us. These six brothers also accompanied me, and we entered the man's house. He told us how he had seen the angel standing in his house and saying, 'Send to Joppa and bring Simon, who is called Peter. He will give you a message by which you and your entire household will be saved.' And as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them, just as it had upon us at the beginning. And I remembered the word of the Lord, how God had said, 'John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' If then God gave them the same gift that God gave us when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could hinder God?" When they heard this, they were silenced, and they praised God, saying, "Then God has given even to the Gentiles the repentance that leads to life."
The way is dark up ahead of me. The way is dark and I cannot see. What I love the most is a flashlight beam lighting up the way when I cannot see.
Major League Baseball. I know we're doing a series on jazz, but I want to start with something that I'm a little more comfortable with. Major League Baseball has a rule book that covers everything that you can imagine. It's 125 pages long. It also has an unwritten rule book. Like, things that happen in baseball, everyone knows that the unwritten rules operate just beneath the surface. So for example, if your team... I need to pause for a moment because I'm going to talk about the Dodgers, and I really dislike the Dodgers. Like, I don't dislike the Dodgers quite as much as I dislike the Yankees and the Angels, but it's close. It's close. It's really close, actually. So when your pitcher throws high and tight on our best hitter, you can be sure that before the fat lady sings, something is going to happen, right, when your team is up. Somebody is going to be retaliated against in that moment. And so that's just an unwritten rule in baseball. Everybody knows it's there. So when LA Dodger pitcher Zach Greinke, who used to play for the Royals, the best team in baseball, when he threw high and tight on Carlos Quinton, everyone knew that there was a full count and no one was out and the Dodgers were up 2-1. It hits Quinton in the arm. But the rule is this: it obviously wasn't intentional because the game was close, the count was there, it wasn't intentional. At least 99% of the people watching were pretty certain that it wasn't intentional. And so the rule is that Quinton gets up and he just walks to first base. There he is. That's what he should have done, just walk to first base. That was the rule. But it turns out that Carlos Quinton is not part of the 99%. And so he actually throws his helmet down and charges the mound where Zach Greinke is. And Greinke is a very slight guy. And so he not so wisely drops his shoulder down like this, and you can see the next. And it turns out that Carlos Quinton is huge. And he breaks Zach Greinke's collarbone in this moment. And the bench is clear. It wasn't just these two. It keeps going. And the catcher grabs, and then everyone is on the field. Both teams clear their benches. And so, actually, it escalated even after the game with Matt Kemp and others all getting involved and trying to figure out what to do. Because the rules, unwritten rules of baseball, say you have to retaliate in some way. So a few days later, the Padres were going up to LA, and they were going to play the Dodgers. And everybody was afraid, actually, of what's going to happen at this game. And so it turns out that it's actually the exact same day that they're honoring Jackie Robinson, number 42. And so the game starts to get ready, and people, they start to take the field. And nobody actually imagined that these two teams that had been brawling just a couple days before would stand side by side and be able to be together on the field as Harrison Ford threw out the first pitch. And Magic Johnson reminded everyone there, if Jackie hadn't played for the Dodgers, I don't think I'd be here with the Dodgers today. See, no one expected that could happen, but something bigger than themselves brought even the Padres and the Dodgers together on that stadium that day. Side by side with a team that they loathed, I think you could say they hated at that moment. And they go from hating them to standing side by side with them. Maybe some of you saw the Chicago Tribune, the sports page. This is 2 days, just the day actually, after the Boston Marathon bombings. So everybody knows that there are unwritten rules in Chicago sports. First of all, if you live in Chicago, you have to like sports. And second, you're to like the Cubs or the White Sox. Those are your choices. Period. You don't get to like the Red Sox. And if you're in Chicago, you can love or you can hate the Bears, but you can't wear the blue of the Patriots. Like, that's just not okay. And yet, somehow, the editor of the sports page does something blasphemous right after the Boston Marathon tragedy. He devotes the entire section, that front page of the sports page, which is just supposed to be for Chicago sports, to this. It says, we are Chicago Red Sox. We are Chicago Celtics. We are Chicago. We are Boston. It's both and at the same moment. The day after the bombings, something about the us and the them just fades away. See, we want to be able to live like that, at least I think at our best. We want to be able to live like that all the time. We want to be able to let go of the them and the us, and to live more deeply into the we're all in this together. But that slips from our grasp most of the time. And some of us don't love baseball or Chicago sports, but some of us love yoga. And I know the way that yoga folks and CrossFit folks look at each other, like, is it actually us and them? Or maybe El Camino and Rio, like, could we even love them? Shh. Exactly. The El Camino folks are behind you saying the same thing. Or if you love jazz music, what about classical? Or classical, is there any room for jazz? Well, it turns out that we're not the first people to try to navigate this tragic gap between who we are and who we want to be, who we are as individuals and how we want to be as people of faith. We gather this morning around this story from Acts, in which we find Peter, who's on trial, really, around who is it that God's love is for? It was really clear to Peter that it was for his Jewish sisters and brothers. It was unclear to him how it could be for these people that were not from that tradition, or what we call Gentiles. And so Peter has three visions that come to him, and we're told they come from heaven, because the truth is, most of the time we don't break down these barriers on our own. Something bigger than us has to break them down for us. And Peter is a lot like me, and maybe a little bit like you. It takes three times for him to get whacked upside the head before he actually realizes that this might be something significant. It's so much easier to just retract back into us and them, into God's love is for this group that I hold, but not for this other. But the text says to us that what God has made clean, you must not call profane. And it's that deep truth that Peter moves from even the Gentiles, like even them, God wants us to love, to even the Gentiles. See, they had volumes of rules about who was in and who was out. And in this moment, these visions collapse for Peter so that all he hears is the simple rule of Jesus to love God and love neighbor. A simple and profound rule that takes our life to live into, and still too often we fall short. Isn't that, though, what we long for in our lives, to navigate our way from even the Gentiles to even the Gentiles? But how do we get there? How do we get from here to there so that we live our lives not just the day after the bombings thinking Chicago Red Sox, but every day seeing those lines as permeable so that God's love is not just for those among us but beyond us? We're looking in this series at jazz and at the book of Acts. And so I'm going to take a little bit of time to unpack how the structures, the minimal structures of jazz music, might guide us as people of faith to follow in the way of Peter and allow God to knock us upside the head, to allow God to help us to see God's love for all of creation. Jazz bassist and composer, his name is Charles Mingus, he once famously said, "You can't improvise on nothing. You got to improvise on something." And we live in Northern California in like a post-everything moment where everyone longs, myself including at moments, longs to move beyond the structures that have kept us back for so long. We don't need X and Y and Z. We're post this, we're post that. The truth is, though, that improvisation, in short, it needs rules. In some sense of order. They say it this way in a book called Yes to the Mess, Leadership Lessons from Jazz. Musicians need a song, a motif, a set of notes on which to embellish and create an improvisation. And they're not alone in this, and he points to Robert De Niro, famous for inventing brilliant scenes on the fly. And De Niro argues that actors need constraints of character and situation in order to meaningfully improvise. You can't improvise on nothing. It's why when you walked in this morning, you walked into, you may not even know it, but this is a United Methodist church. And most Methodists don't know that there was a method in Methodism. So I'm going to share a moment about it with you right now. The method is this. It's not that complicated. It's get together every week in small groups. We call them kitchen tables. And watch over each other in love. And ask each other these three simple questions. How are you doing harm? How are you doing good? And how are you practicing Christian disciplines to love God? How are you doing harm? How are you doing good? How are you practicing disciplines to stay in love with God? Those are the constraints that have guided this movement for a long, long time. I think they're just an improvisation on Jesus' love God and love neighbor. It's another way of playing that same song. And so when we improvise in kitchen tables, that's what we're doing, is we're looking to find God's groove of love and justice as we seek to make music together. And those three simple rules frame life for us. They constrain the boundaries that hold us. Because we all know that life turns upside down. We don't actually know when Carlos Quentin is going to charge us and throw us to the ground. We can never be sure when the fans around us are going to incite us to join them in a tirade of retaliation. We never know when tragedy is going to happen that shakes to the core of who we are and what we thought we knew. See, the structure of our song, it won't protect us, but it can hold us until we can again find that groove that God is playing in our lives and in the world. And that groove is the goal of jazz. It's the state, someone writes, about mutual orientation to the beat. And Donald Winnicott, is that what I'm saying? Anybody know who this is? Is he a famous jazz musician that I should know and don't? Yes! He may not be, but I'm going to quote him anyways. He calls this groove a holding environment. It holds space so that we can improvise together. And Frank Barrett writes about it in these ways. These are the three minimal structures of jazz that allow jazz to both be free and musicians to find their own voice. First, there are clear constraints in jazz. It's not just total chaos. There's an order to it. And the order isn't negotiated on the spot. It's not like the bassist stops and looks to the drummer and says, well, should this be 12 bars or should we go with 16? They agree on some level, I hope. They agree on some level that this is not negotiable mid-song. And once that's set, there's mutual interaction. There's back and forth. There's sharing, spirited exchanges. And what happens is, some of the musicians are keeping the groove so that others can solo. It's like, how are you holding space so that someone else can find their voice? And then there's these constraining patterns that are punctuated by time at regular intervals. So it's like, no matter how far out you get, the time signature holds space so that you can stay in the groove. And it's that order that gives you the freedom to create both the beautiful and the chaotic. It gives you that space to improvise. And so it's all well and good to think about it in theory, but I want us to try it, and I want them to help us to see it. So we're going to hear for just a moment some of the balance of constraint and freedom as we listen to a 12-bar blues beat. It's called Now's the Time. Did I say it wrong? How did I say it? Blues. Dang. They're not going to let me preach anymore about music. So here's what's going to happen. Because some of you are not unlike me, you're a little afraid around musicians. You've had three lessons. Maybe you've even had less. So Vanessa is going to show us. There's 12 bars to this. She's going to show us when we get to the top. Okay, and Darius is going to help us too. So we're going to have two people to help us when we get to the top in case you're like me and you can't figure out where it is. This is the moment where we're all coming back together. This time signature is there. Okay, let's hear. How's Vanessa going to show us that?
Well, everybody's going to show us on their instrument in their own way. Brendan's going to show us harmonically. Rhythmically, I'm going to do something that I don't usually like to do, which is be very obvious and hit it somewhat.
Show us an example of that, because I don't know what all those words just meant. Hit it for me really hard. That was what I needed. I needed that. Some of you might have too. That's okay if you didn't, but I did. Thank you.
Just before we start, I want to let you know, after she does that, we're going to play a song, and we're going to play the melody twice. There's 12 bars. You count the 12 bars. She does that. You start the 12 bars over. That's the structure of the song. We're repeating that 12 bars over and over. For you to understand, count the 12 bars. I'll count two, and you start counting from right
we'll
there.
Show them how to count. One, two, three, four, two, three, four. One, two,
a bar is four beats, by the way. I'm sorry. I thought I was talking to a bunch of musicians right now. 12 bars, ready?
And so on. I'm going to count 2 bars and everyone start. We count from there.
Invite you to think about what is it in your own life? What are the structures that you have in place or that you need to live back into so that you can have that kind of freedom to create beauty and hope around you? In the method, in Methodism, the structure is this. You gather every week. It's the top of the time. You gather on the one, and you come back together to watch over each other in love, to share about how is it with your soul, how are you doing harm and doing good and staying in love with God. And some of you are in kitchen tables and you're trying that, and others don't have any idea what I'm talking about. I'd love for you to take in the back. There's a book called Blueprint for Discipleship. Take it home with you as a gift. And we'd invite you to think about joining us in one of those small groups where you can find folks around you who want to have that kind of structure to live that out, because it's through that kind of order that we can find our own freedom. The 12 bars in that song in our tradition are to do no harm, to do good, and to practice disciplines to stay in love with God. And we need to come back together so that we can go out into the world to solo. We need to remind ourselves of that beat so that we can be the people that God longs for us to be. We come together each week to do that so we can go out soloing in creative ways. The folks around you might just be musicians that you want to learn to play with, that you want to learn to practice your faith with. And maybe some of you are, and this is just a reminder of why we do just that. And maybe some of you are wondering what it could be like. Can we invite you as we leave worship this morning to just ask and talk to folks around you, what is it like for them to be in a combo that gathers together to watch over each other in love in just that way? See, all of us create others all the time in our lives. And moments in the world help us to allow that boundary that we place between us and others to fade away. This morning, I want to invite us to think about what are the minimal constraints that we need in our lives, that constraint that Jesus set to love God and to love neighbor. How is that going to hold you? How is that going to invite you into freedom? What about the minimal constraint of our community of doing no harm and doing good and staying in love with God? Maybe that's a kind of vision that could inspire you to move from even the Gentiles, like God's love is even for them, to even the Gentiles. May we learn to improvise that God's song of love and justice is waiting to be sung as we live in to the minimal constraints that Jesus calls us to, that we might find the freedom and the hope of God's love playing through us now and always.
One of the ways that we improvise and practice is by praying as God's people. And we know that in this space, not unlike how Anthony just said to all of us, there's 4 beats in a measure, right? And in 12 bars, that song can happen over and over again. And those are the beats that hold that space for that song to happen. Well, God holds this space. God holds this space. And it's our privilege and our improvisation that fills it with our hearts and our deepest desires and with our prayers. And the way we pray here at the table is by taking time to be quiet and to focus. And some of us like to stay right where we are, and music will play softly, and some of us want to move and we feel like lighting a candle and taking a moment over in one of the windows at the prayer stations, and there's this one in the back for standing, is a way that kinetically helps us to move and be in prayer with our improvisation. But really, the question for us this day is, where are those places in our lives where we identify ourselves and other? Where we put in those structures, and God, we know, calls us to move across to that other place, even there. And it's different for each of us. It really is different for each of us. So I'm going to ask you, Ryan, to turn the lights down to the prayer setting. And the music will begin. We have a jazz piece this morning. And I invite all of us to move into this improvisation of practicing prayer in silence or in jotting words down, to be with each other and God as we improvise together in this space.
By the grace of the Lord, I've come a long way. By the grace of the Lord, I've come a long way. He's been my bread when I was hungry. He's been my company keeper every time I get a little lonely. By the grace of the Lord, I've come along.